Shabbat shalom. I don't know how to tweet. I don't have a Facebook account. I'm not LinkedIn. I don't know how to send pictures of me on the internet. Except if someone has sent them to me first, in which case I just push the forward tab and somehow the thing is attached. I don't buy apps. I don't know about clouds. I don't casually drop in conversation, microblogging, adware, G-Slate, honeycomb tablet, or hyperlink. But I hire people who do. And they do it for me and for us here in the synagogue. I'm not against this new technology. To the contrary, I'm always, almost always, in favor of scientific breakthroughs and discoveries. They're almost always morally neutral, with vast potential to make lives better. For example, I'm very much in favor of indoor plumbing. That has definitely improved the human condition. Air conditioning is not a bad invention, too. I like airplanes, and I like houses that don't leak. Antibiotics is a miracle. I hire people in our office here to do the latest in social media networking. I instruct our staff all the time that we need to be able to communicate with people as they now communicate, not only as previous generations communicated. And we're even going to get better beginning with next September. Do you know that some of our younger staff members don't even have telephones at home? And by this I mean, they don't have phones that you plug into a wall. Why have a hardline, they say, if, you know, we have all the gadgets that we can stay linked in and networked in 24 hours a day? Who needs a phone? I love this new social networking technology. We're one of the first synagogues in the country, I think in the world, to stream our Shabbat services, all in high-definition cameras, live, or they used to say live and in living color. We'll be streaming Lauren and Cantor Singer's wedding on Sunday. Mazel tov to all of you. 1:30. Come on time. I love this social networking. Why reach only the people who can come to synagogue on this particular day if you can, by virtue of technology, reach hundreds, thousands of people? You know, we receive weekly reports of the people who go onto our website and stream these services. You wouldn't believe how many people stream our services and from where in the world? Dozens of countries in the world. But the more technologically advanced we become, the more our own human weaknesses and frailties are exposed. We're still the same people that we were millennia ago. We use different technology, but our heart is the same. We have the same needs, the same desires, the same attributes, and the same vulnerabilities. The difference is that now, when we fall, it's broadcast all over the world, instantaneously. And once on the network, it's never off the network. It's there permanently for all to see, for all time. We have far more powerful tools for social networking, but the key ingredient of social networking is still the human being, who is still a social animal. And a human being hasn't changed all that much since the first human beings walked out of the cave to establish the first village. We're still a combination of good and bad. We're still a strange mixture of noble and base. We are still creatures of drives and egos. We still have the night in us while also striving for the light. Social network technology does not improve our skills of social networking. It's just technology. In fact, there is reason to think that it makes some of us less skilled in social networking. We give immediate an unfiltered expression to our emotional state without thinking and without reflecting. We assume that there's a firewall hiding us from our nature and from our deeds because we can receive and send messages from anywhere, from the privacy of our home and from even the palm of our hand. I've received emails from people, the tone and the content of which would never be communicated face to face. But somehow, if communicated online, they convince themselves that they are protected behind a barrier of cyberspace. There must be a part of our brain that convinces us that cyber communication is virtual, not real. Fantasy. Now, I'm not referring to anyone specifically here. I don't know, so don't take it personally. But I read that racy messages are texted and tweeted all the time. This is who we are. The ease of giving expression to who we are is what is new, not who we are. Perhaps Americans don't like a mirror being held up in front of them, reflecting back to them about who we are. Mark Twain pointed to a profound truth when he wrote, "Adam was but human." This explains it all. He didn't want the apple for the apple's sake. He wanted it only because it was forbidden. The mistake was not in forbidding the serpent. Then he would have eaten the serpent. Self-knowledge, who we really are, is a key component of a good life. Self-mastery is a key ingredient of a good life. In Judaism, a real man and a real woman are measured not by their promiscuity or by their consumption of every temptation under the sun, but in their capacity to master their impulses and emotions. Ezehu Gibor, states the Mishnah. Who is a hero? Ask our sages. Those who master their impulses. Temptation will always be present in our lives. Some unhealthy attraction, some forbidden fruit will always arouse our desires. It's been that way since the beginning of the time. From the very first warning to avoid the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we have been tempted to explore the unknown and to taste the forbidden fruit. It is part of our makeup as human beings. We fight temptation every day of our lives. According to the Talmud, the evil inclination goes stronger in us from day to day. It is like, at first, the threat of a spider, but ultimately becomes like cart ropes. In Jewish tradition, the presence of temptation is not in and of itself unusual, unexpected, or unnatural. Quite the contrary. The presence of temptation is what gives meaning to our struggle against it. If we were all programmed to do all the right things, all the right time, there would be no morality. Morality is in the choice that we have to determine how we will act. One of our great sages taught, the righteous are swayed by their good inclination. The wicked are swayed by their evil inclination. Average people are swayed by both inclinations. Most of us, at most times, are swayed by both inclinations. We must work hard to master our bad inclination. There's a concept in Jewish thought called a fence around the Torah. It is intended to protect us from violating the core prohibition by creating a peripheral obstacle, a fence. We might call it today in cyber language a firewall. If we cannot surmount the fence, the firewall, if we can't break through the firewall, we can't violate the court prohibition. For example, to reduce the risk of taking the name of God in vain, the rabbis advised not to swear at all. If you don't swear at all, you're never going to take the name of God in vain. If you did not want to run the risk of avoiding the laws prohibiting the work on Shabbat, some rabbis decreed that you shouldn't even pick up a hammer, lest you forget that it's Shabbat and you begin working. That's a fence around the Torah. That's a firewall around our impulses. The key is to know ourselves and to overcome our impulses. In the end, self-control, discipline, are not restricting, but liberating. Slaves are mastered by others. Only free men and free women can exercise self-mastery. We need to learn more about morality. We teach mathematical equations, but not enough moral calculus. We teach molecular biology. We know a lot about cells in the human body, but not enough about the human soul. We teach economic theories. We know a lot about how to invest money, but not enough about how to give money. We teach physics. We know a lot about outer space, but not enough about inner peace. The rabbis teach a person's evil desire renews itself daily against him. A person should always incite the good impulse to fight against the evil impulse. If he subdues it, well and good. If he cannot subdue it, he should study the Torah. The answer to the bad impulse is to go to the house of study. Make Torah a regular routine. That is, think about morality. Study morality. Think about discipline. Think about it every day, especially online.